It's not fair, is it, life? It's not fair when somebody nips in front of you and takes the last parking space in the car park. It's not fair when you get sent home from school because somebody else in your class has tested positive for COVID. And maybe it's not fair that big matches are settled by penalty shootouts. Was that only last Sunday? Life isn't fair. And some things don't really matter. Some things do matter and can be changed relatively easily. And some things matter but are really hard to change. But they matter so much that we've just got to try. At the start of his ministry, Jesus tells everyone what matters. In Luke chapter 4, it's a well-known passage, Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth, and he's at the synagogue, and he stands up to read from the prophet Isaiah. This is what he reads: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And when he's finished, he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." So in God's kingdom, the wrongs of oppression will be put right. There will be an end to powerful people making money out of poor people's distress. There will be an end to vulnerable people being exploited and livelihoods being stolen by the bullies. Because in God's kingdom, there's no place for any of that. God's heart is for justice. And I believe he calls us to care about justice too. Justice is a theme that runs right the way through the Bible, right through the story of God's people. If you think back to the Exodus and the lead up to that dramatic escape from Egypt through the Red Sea. Before that, for years and years, decades, generations, the Israelites have been working as slaves in Pharaoh's oppressive regime. And they cried out to God. And God hears their cries and sends rescue. He calls Moses from the burning bush. And he says, "I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. And I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them." But rescue isn't quick. It took Moses some time. Remember all those plagues. Pharaoh was not going to give up his slave workforce easily. It took persistence. It took a lot of faith in God before they finally made their escape through the Red Sea. And it's no different today. IJM workers sometimes risk their own lives standing up for justice. Slavery is a really lucrative business, and the bullies don't give up easily. It takes a huge amount of bravery to stand up to them, especially for victims like Tayama to speak out against the very people who day after day have wielded such power over their lives and whose threats are a daily compulsion to do just what they're told. It takes determination to work with shaky criminal justice systems and try and bring cases which may or may not lead to convictions for the perpetrators. And those court cases can just take years. It's really hard to keep going. They do need our prayers. It'd be so good, wouldn't it, if we could think of slavery as a thing of the past, a horrific episode in human history, but one abolished forever by Wilberforce and other campaigners. But sadly, that's not the case. In fact, there are some 40 million held in slavery around the world today, and one in four of those is a child. Sex trafficking is rife. 99% of victims of sex trafficking are women and girls. Human trafficking of all kinds generates over £100 billion a year. And a child goes missing in India every 8 minutes, and half of them are never found. It breaks God's heart. And it breaks my heart too. And on top of what's already a horrendous situation, the fact is that globally over 4 billion people live outside the protection of the law. Yes, there are security firms. Yes, there's the police. But they're only there for the ones who can pay. So the poor struggle on without help. And the bullies take their land, and killing and rape goes unchecked. Because without sanctions, criminals get away with it and do as they please. In that talk that I mentioned by the founder of IJM, Gary Haugen, he plays a recording, just to bring the point home, but this is a recording of a call to the police in Oregon, USA. So they ring 911 in the USA, not 999. So a woman calls 911 because a man who's already assaulted her once and put her in hospital has come round to her house and is trying to break in. So she calls 911, but when the person on the other end answers it, she explains that budget cuts have meant that in this county there's no one to send at the weekend. I do not have anyone to send. Can you imagine calling 999 and that being the answer? I haven't got anyone to send. That's not what you want to hear when you're in fear of your life. That really shocks us because that's not what things are like in the West. But in most of the world, the poor don't expect anyone to come and help. There's been quite a bit in the news lately about our government deciding to cut the overseas budget, the aid budget. And there's been an outcry against it. But what wasn't so public, or isn't so public, is that so much aid money is spent on things that don't actually make that much difference for the poor. Because you can go and do an education program for the men in Uganda that it is wrong to abuse their wives. They know that already. There are laws. What the wives need is some legal intervention. Because if jail was a real possibility, then maybe, just maybe, the violence would lessen. And there's been great investment in building schools, especially in providing for girls' education. But if the girls are going to get attacked, even raped, on the way to school, they're not going to go. So you can build all the schools you want, but if it isn't safe to get to them, it's wasted. So the answers are never simple. But I think the way IJM works to understand the underlying causes of violence and slavery is beginning to make a difference. They've got a big vision. Their vision is to rescue millions, protect half a billion, and make justice for the poor unstoppable. Rescue millions, protect half a billion, and make justice for the poor unstoppable. Those are kingdom values. They reflect God's heart for justice. It's big picture, but every small rescue counts and is celebrated. It could be so easy to be completely overwhelmed by this whole slavery issue, the scale of it. But as well as the shocking statistics and horrendous stories of abuse and oppression, there are those amazing, heartening and thrilling stories of rescue. I wonder how you felt as you watched that film. I hope that as well as telling one particular story of slavery and exploitation, it also gives encouragement that there can be rescue, that things can change. One of the great strengths of IGM, I think, is the way that they work with local partnerships. So they're not there to take over, they are there to work with, and how they try and make the local justice systems work for the poor, and the aftercare that they offer to those they rescue. Dave read us the story of the Good Samaritan, which is so familiar to us, the story that Jesus told in answer to the question, who is my neighbor? Is it the people on my street, my community, my town, my country? Well, of course, there's no limits. Your neighbor is anyone who needs your help, particularly and even if they aren't the kind of person you usually mix with. The Samaritan rescuer in the story is remarkable for several reasons. We know that Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. In fact, that's probably putting it mildly, they actually hated each other. So it's extraordinary that he bothers to stop at all. But his compassion overcomes the hatred, and he takes pity on this bruised and battered man. And then on top of that, he attends to his immediate needs. He bandages him up and somehow manages to get him onto his own donkey. And he takes him to a place of safety in a nearby inn. So it was quite an inconvenience. He really goes out of his way to help. But his kindness doesn't stop there. He goes even further. He's going to keep in touch with this man. He's not just going to pay for a night or two at the inn for the man to recover. He's coming back and to see how he's getting on, and he'll pay whatever else is needed. And it struck me how that chimes with the way IJM works in the similar pattern, starting with noticing the need and being moved with compassion, allowing God's heart for the poor and oppressed to move our hearts. And then it leads to doing whatever can be done to alleviate the suffering, not only to set prisoners free, but also to bring the perpetrators to justice and prevent more suffering from others at their hands. And then IJM goes that extra mile, making sure that those released from slavery are given whatever they need to rebuild their lives, to recover, however long that might take. And of course, all that takes money. What IJM need are people who are willing to support them in prayer and in giving. William Wilberforce said three things were necessary to destroy slavery: awareness, prayer, and money. As I said, I really value the regular updates that we get from IJM. They keep me aware. They remind me that God hasn't given up on people in slavery, that his kingdom hasn't come completely yet. There is still work to be done. There are so many, aren't there, competing demands for our concern. We've all understandably focused on our own country and the effect the pandemic is having on us here in the UK. But the rest of the world and its needs haven't gone away, and the pandemic has made everything more difficult everywhere. Violence against women has rocketed, and the pandemic hasn't halted the sickening trade in human beings. So today I'd really love to encourage you to be part of the fight for justice as individuals or as a church. Partnering with IJM is just one way, and I'm really confident to bang the drum for them because the way they work is so effective. Not everyone who works for IJM is a Christian, but that doesn't stop them rooting everything they do in prayer. As I said, they stop every day to pray as part of their working day. They rely on God's strength to transform the injustices in the world. Last year, as I said, we went on a training day. We stayed at home and we Zoomed a training day for champions and learned a lot more about the charity and really started to feel that we were co-workers and valued as part of the organisation. They're planning another Champions Day training, again by Zoom, on the 6th of October this year. And if you are stirred at all to think and explore or want to know more, it wouldn't be any obligation to become a champion at the end of it, but it would be a way of finding out more about how that would work. So I'd love to encourage you to be part of that and just speak to me afterwards if you'd like to be put in contact with how you'd register for that. So it doesn't cost anything at all except your time. And we'd really feel encouraged to know that there were other champions in the churches in Harrogate. That might not be for you, but maybe being a Freedom Partner is, maybe committing regularly to give would be something you would like to do. You know how when you get a new car or a different car, different model, you suddenly notice lots of cars of that model around that you hadn't noticed before? Well, I think the same thing seems to be happening for me with issues of justice. So I really feel that the Holy Spirit's bringing this to my attention right now, and maybe that's happening for some of you too. I want to finish with a story. This isn't an IJM story, this is a story, a fable if you like, one you may well have heard before, but it's another story of rescue. It's of a little boy rescuing starfish stranded along the seashore. There were masses of these starfish beached on the shore. And as he walked along, every so often he'd stop and he'd bend down and he'd pick one up and he'd hurl it back into the sea. And a man who was also walking along the same shoreline stopped and asked him, what was he doing? And when he explained that he was rescuing starfish, the man said, but there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. What difference could you possibly make? And the boy just bent down and picked up another starfish and threw it as far as he could into the ocean. And he turned and he smiled at the man and he said, it made a difference to that one. RGM's making a difference. And they're able to do that because people like you and me have caught that vision of what might be possible, a world without slavery. What could be more wonderful than to witness somebody finding freedom? To see a person transformed from desperation to joy and fulfillment. To live life in all its fullness as Jesus promised. So we can be part of all that. Because some things matter too much to ignore. Amen.